When we think about love stories, they often follow a similar and somewhat predictable framework. And I'm going to tell this from the male point of view because I'm a male. Adjust as you need to. But here's kind of the classic and predictable framework of the love story. Boy meets girl. Boy and girl get to know each other. Boy and girl fall in love. Boy and girl face obstacles. Sometimes those obstacles are insurmountable. Boy loses girl. Boy misses girl. Boy gets girl back. And they live happily ever after. How'd I do? You read a few books like that. You've seen a few movies like that. Our family is partial to the classic love stories. Things like White Christmas. I mean, that follows that script almost exactly. Singing in the Rain is another big favorite. At the 8 o'clock service, my wife and kids were here, and I made the mistake of telling some more recent love stories that Troy and Olivia watch. And I was admonished for that, but usually they come to the last service, so I could have gotten away with it all morning. But I was cleared to disclose letters to Julia or letters to Julia. You know that one? Okay. So what are we doing? I mean, is this a film criticism morning? No, I'm telling you this because I believe that the Gospel of John, the good news about Jesus the Christ, as described by John, is, in its heart, a love story. Nothing more and nothing less. And it's not a love story, it's not a romantic love story in the same sense as those others that I described, but it is grounded in that same longing to know and to be known, that same longing to be accepted and to live in an open-ended way into life together. So here's how that works. In just about any love story, it doesn't start actually at the beginning. There's life before the beginning. And so also in this love story between God and His people, between Jesus and us. In particular, there's a longing on God's part for His people. God created humanity in His image. There's always been a special place in God's heart for human beings. And beginning in the garden and extending really throughout the Old Testament, there is just one episode after another of not humanity loving God and leaving Him so much as being loved by God and leaving Him. It plays out over and over and over again. And so God is longing for His people. On the other side of that, the people of God also, despite having chosen apart from God over and over and over again, the desire hasn't gone away. And so you have, leading up to Jesus' birth, this mutual longing and desire on the part of God and humanity, one for another. And we have the meeting taking place, God meets world, in a cosmic way described in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Second person of the Trinity, Jesus. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. There's no more complete meeting possible between God and humanity than the Word becoming flesh and living among us. But John is not just a love story in the cosmic and general sense. John is a love story in the very specific, one person at a time sense as well. And you see that as Jesus begins His ministry and He meets people. He's going along one day and He sees Andrew and somebody else and meets them. There's something in that meeting that is so attractive to Andrew that he goes home and he tells his brother, who we know as Peter, "Hey, I met this guy. You gotta come check him out." And he meets Philip. And Philip sees Nathanael. And Jesus sees Nathanael sitting under a tree at a distance. And he says something about Nathanael that Nathanael finds insightful. And he's blown away by that. Jesus says, "You haven't seen anything yet." Jesus meets groups of people in the settings like turning water into wine at Cana in a wedding. He meets groups of people, thousands, when he feeds them when they're hungry. He meets people in their illness and heals them. He meets them in their isolation and restores them to community and relationship. Over and over and over again, people fall in love with Jesus when they meet him. But as in any love story, things don't remain that simple. If you think about it, we have expectations that we carry into our lives. And when we meet someone who we think can meet those expectations, we lay all those expectations on them. And Jesus is no exception. And some people never really fall for him. The ironic thing is, those who we would most expect to recognize him for who he is and what he's about are the ones most likely to be opposed to him. The religious authorities, more than any others. The scholars. Those who really should have known better. But sometimes even among Jesus' closest friends, where the love is strongest, the questioning gets more intensified. You might remember when Jesus is describing the trajectory that he's on, James and John, two of his closest friends, say, "You know, when you come into your kingdom, can one of us sit at your right hand and the other one at your left?" Clearly, they hadn't been paying attention to what he was all about. And Peter, when Jesus is pushing and pushing and pushing and saying, "Who do people say that I am? But who do you say that I am?" And Peter confesses who Jesus is. It's a very powerful profession of faith. And then Jesus says, "Well, you know what that means is the Son of Man is going to be handed over, put to death on the third day, be raised." And Peter says, "Oh, no, Lord, not you. Not you." Thomas, we think of, you know, questioning from from the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus, but he was always a little cynical and skeptical as he went along. And Judas, of course, more than any, was that way. And so, as with any love story, with the story with Jesus, also there involves a break, or it involves a break. Sometimes relationally first. As in the case of Judas. Now, you know, Judas loved Jesus. He didn't have to follow him. He went along with him. But he had expectations that Jesus did not meet. And Judas, for a variety of reasons, betrayed one of his closest friends to death. And Peter wasn't a whole lot better. You remember that when it got a little bit hot, and Peter was challenged regarding his relationship with Jesus, he said, "Jesus, don't know the guy. Don't know who you're talking about. Try recovering from that one." But love is lost not only relationally with Jesus, love is lost when he dies. Death is the end of every love story on earth. When people marry, they stand in this place or a place just like it, and they make promises that include words like, "Until death parts us. I will love you, I will care for you, until death parts us." And death does part us. Death parted Jesus and his friends and family on Good Friday. Death kept them apart through Saturday. But the same God who speaks life into being, the same God who joins with humanity in and as the person of Jesus, the same God who loves in a way that there could be no greater love than laying down his life for his friends. That same God refuses to let the love story end with death. And so Jesus is bodily raised on this Easter morning. He's raised bodily, physically. This isn't a dream. It's not a vision. It's not a ghost. It's not Mary having spicy food the night before. Jesus is physically present. And it's a different kind of physicality, though. Did you notice that? I mean, Jesus is there, but she doesn't recognize him at first. And you'll hear in the post-resurrection appearances that they can see him, they can touch him, they can talk to him, but Jesus is not constrained by time and space in the same way that the rest of us are. But what Jesus raised makes possible is the renewal of the love story between God and his people, between Jesus and us. It makes happily ever after possible. So what does this renewed love between Jesus and his people look like? There are three expressions of it. First of all, is there's a reunion, a reconnection. As far as I can tell, Mary had not let Jesus down in any way while he was alive. I mean, she was as devoted can be. And so I believe that when she was grieving at the tomb on Easter morning, the regret that she felt was that the one whom she'd loved so well was now lost to her. When Jesus appeared to her, her joy is because she's got something back that she thought was gone forever. It's a little more complicated with the guys. They let Jesus down. They let Jesus down. And so reunion involves a deeper love as well. And Jesus begins to speak to that when he says to Mary, "Go and tell my brothers." Did you catch that? Three nights before, he had said to them, "You are my friends." Now, to be a friend of Jesus is a big deal. He says, "You're my friends." But now here, 3 days later, he says, "You are my brothers," or "they are my brothers." I've got friends, believe it or not. And I love my friends. But there's a different kind of connection between siblings. Brother and brother. Brother and sister. Sister and sister. It's a tighter bond. And Jesus says, "They are my brothers because we have the same Father." Three nights before, he had said, "It's my Father." Now he's saying he's their Father as well. So there's this deeper connection, which is already beginning to take place. And the other thing that solidifies that deeper connection, he says, "You can't hang on to me right now, Mary, because I am ascending to my Father. I'm ascending to my Father." Jesus will be bodily present at the right hand of God, where he directs things going forward. And then how is it that the disciples, friends, brothers, and sisters are now going to have a deeper connection to him with him reigning at the right hand of God? It's through the gift of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus also promised that same night. And later on this night, if you continue reading John chapter 20, you'll see that he gives the Holy Spirit to his disciples. It's through the Spirit that Jesus remains present with them. So both directing from heaven, but present through the Spirit. And somehow those two things together give them a less ambivalent connection, a less ambivalent love relationship than they ever had while Jesus was doing his earthly ministry. The last thing about love in this renewed time is it's expansive. Love is expensive, too. It always is, right? You guys know that. This is expansive. It's not a you and me against the world. The best love stories are not you and me against the world that both close in on each other and close out others. But rather, it pulls something out of us that wasn't there before and makes our love for other people so much more possible. You know, Jesus began to talk about that on the Thursday before his death. He said, in the same way that the Father has loved me, and because the Father has loved me, so also I have loved you. And in that same way, and because I have loved you, so also love one another. It's expansive. And if you read on through John, through the end, you get to John chapter 21. And Jesus has this very intense encounter with Peter. And Peter knew he had dropped the ball. And I'm quite confident was deeply ashamed. And he's wondering, how on earth can you come before me now, Lord, given what I have failed to do for you? And Jesus asks him really simply, Peter, do you love me? He asks him three times, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I do. And the answer then, Jesus' response is, then feed my lambs. Renewed love is expansive. It goes beyond itself. So here now we have this renewed love, which began on Easter morning and which extends all the way up until today, made possible through the risen Jesus Christ. So let's talk about today a little bit. Where are you in your love story with Jesus today? Some of you might be playing hard to get. It happens that way sometimes. It can be a variety of reasons. Life experience, what you've seen that doesn't really appeal to you in others who profess to follow Jesus. Could be a lot of things. I say, if you're playing hard to get, hang in there. He will grow on you. And sometimes those who are hard to get initially are also the hardest ones to move off once they're finally there. Some of you might be at this place in your love story with Jesus where you're really just meeting him and you've got that whole giddy, everything is beautiful thing going on. You don't need sleep. Adrenaline can substitute for food. And those are sweet days. I wouldn't wish them away from anyone. I'd say one of the things that can help you sustain those days is to spend intentional time with him. 2 years ago, I challenged whomever was here that morning to read through the Gospels one chapter at a time. If you start tomorrow morning with Matthew chapter 1, and then Tuesday, Matthew chapter 2, by the time you finish John chapter 21, 3 months. 3 months. And you will have spent time with this new love, or renewed love maybe as well. Some of us are in this place of relational challenges in our love story with Jesus. You know, we've seen that life is different, life is even better, but life is not necessarily easier. In fact, it might be harder in some ways. Sometimes we get in this relational challenge place when we realize, you know, there are people around me who don't seem to share my fervor, the depth of my love for Jesus. What do I do with that? I would say if you're in that season of your love story with Jesus, don't try and go it alone. Find someone who seems to have a longer lasting, deeper love with him. And be with them. Observe. Ask questions. Walk alongside. Some of you may be in a place where in your love story with Jesus, you're in that break off time. And usually when I see that, it's one of two things driving it. One is, I don't deserve this love. Or the other is, I don't need this love. And if you're one who's in this place of, I don't deserve this love, kind of where Peter ended up, didn't stay there, but that's where he was. That's the whole point of Jesus' life. It's why he came to be here. None of us deserve it. So if you're not exceptional in that way. You're right in this mess with all the rest of us. But some of you might be in a place where you say, I don't need this love. And if that's the case, then your life is probably pretty good right now. And so give thanks for that. And know that when life is less good, and you do find yourself needing him, that he will be there. The risen Jesus does not leave even those who leave him. What if your love story right now with Jesus has you grieving its loss? Something that was more there than is now. In a very real way, this is your day. Jesus is not dead. And his love for you is certainly not something in your past only. He's alive, he's raised, he's present, he wants you in his life. And he's calling you by name. Some of you might be in this place of already in a renewed love with Jesus. You look around today and you say, man, this is sweet. The music's great. You know, the kids are incredibly well behaved. I mean, it's a great day. But it's not an unusual day. Because if you hear Jesus call you by name, if you see yourself as being his brother or his sister, every day is Easter. Every day is Easter. And so we live happily and ever after. Amen.